Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation, not made by Disney. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and this is my official return from hiatus. It's been a long time. I know I wasn't planning to take it that long. I mean, originally the hiatus was just for the strike. Pretty much there was like the whole actors and writer strike, and I chose to put my show on hiatus and support of that, even though I had really nothing to do with it. But you know, I figured, okay, might as well. Then a lot of things ended up happening, and it just never felt right to get back, pretty much until now. So yeah, it's been a long time, and I thought about doing something big for the return. Couldn't really find anything to really match that, and ultimately I decided, you know what, I'll just do something I wanted to talk about, rather than focusing on some grand return, which is the Fantastic Mr. Fox. You know, I don't want to delve too much into why I was on hiatus. Like I said, a lot of personal stuff came up. It wasn't intended to be this long, because the last episode I did was back around July, I believe. Might have been around August, but I know there was a couple of episodes that were made, some of which, by the time you're watching this, have already aired. Others just completely scrapped. I'm not planning to release them, just because one of them was pretty much about the whole treatment of the animators for Spider-Verse. I just felt like, why bother releasing it now? You know, not that that stuff isn't important, but it's kind of like, everyone's already said their piece. What can I add to it from an old video that isn't going to be relevant anymore? The other one was me doing a review of sorts of the Smiling Friends. Decided not to share that just because it was kind of hastily done. It was one of those where it's like, okay, I just have to get something done right away. And I will occasionally do that. I'm going to try to do it, you know, much better than just, you know, me rambling on with nothing to it. I do want to deliver some quality to you guys, but I'm not exactly interested in just throwing anything out. And that's pretty much why I decided to hold off on showing that one. But yeah, that's pretty much all it is. I don't know. I do plan to do these more regularly as they were before, but my goal is still pretty much the same. For those of you who are new to this, or maybe you need a refresher, my whole point of this show is, yes, I'm talking about animation, mostly movies, not made by Disney. I don't have anything against Disney. I love Disney. I mean, I'm wearing a little hoodie. You can't really see it too well here, but it's of The Mandalorian, so it's not like I'm really, yeah, why even bother? It's not like I'm really, yeah, that shows it a little better. It's not like I'm really against Disney. It's just that, you know, they have a strong hold on the animation, you know, community. Everyone knows Disney movies, even like the obscure ones, are pretty much generally more known than an average non-Disney animated film. So I figured, why not highlight the stuff that's not from them? I will highlight popular stuff every now and then, just because of course you need some of that to get some people's interest. But my goal is, of course, to focus on the stuff that doesn't get enough love. So yeah, Disney's pretty much out of the topic. I may do some special episodes every now and then that focus on some Disney stuff, but on the whole, it's not really the focus of this podcast. Kind of a side note, just because I'm seeing it right now, but if you need proof that I like Disney stuff, I even have the Star Popcorn Bucket from Wish, a movie that I really hated. But yeah, with all that out of the way, so the episode today is me talking about Fantastic Mr. Fox, the Wes Anderson animated film that was nominated for Best Animated Film for 2009. Incredibly strong year for animation, if we're being honest. Based on a Roald Dahl book about a fox that essentially starts a war or a feud, if you want to go with that, against three farmers, Bogus, Bunce, and Bean, who end up essentially screwing over all the animals in the area because they end up driving all the animals nearby them down into the ground, into the sewers, all because they're mad at Fox for essentially stealing their stuff. And it's just Fox, pretty much the Fantastic Mr. Fox, essentially bringing these people more and more trouble. So he's kind of an asshole in that regard. But yeah, that's pretty much the general plot. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. It's a lot of fun though. And, you know, up front, I kind of always forget that this is based on a Roald Dahl book. Not that I want to say that it's different from the book, because I've never really read the book. And from the summaries I've read, it's like, okay, so it kind of gets it. I don't know how much of it is different beyond just, you know, making a movie length and giving it that Wes Anderson style of, like, dialogue and whatnot. But it's definitely, like, you know, just taking the idea of the story, it doesn't sound like something that you would commonly find in a Roald Dahl book, at least, like, the stuff that I'm familiar with, which is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Witches, Matilda, all that stuff. Like, the only thing that really makes it feel like a Roald Dahl, you know, kind of story is just the fact that you have the three farmers who are these old mean men. You know, one's fat, one's very thin, and one's short. That kind of stuff. It's like, okay, that's kind of reminiscent of the kind of stuff that you see in Roald Dahl books, where you have, like, the rude people who are, you know, let's be honest here, drawn very ugly, and as we've come to learn, are pretty much anti-Semitic caricatures oftentimes. Sorry for the dog barking. Oftentimes it's just that. It's like they're caricatures and whatnot, and that's kind of where it's the most reminiscent of a Roald Dahl story. But other than that, I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't really come off to me like as what I would expect from him. Again, maybe the movie's just that different, and if you were to read the book, it would feel more like his style, but I don't know. It definitely feels like a Wes Anderson movie. A lot of people have pretty much turned it into a joke and kind of mocked him for it, for his very specific style when it comes to the way he chooses to direct scenes, the way he, you know, creates the sets, the colors, the dialogue, and all that stuff. I don't have a problem with it. I love any Wes Anderson stuff. You know, give me a Wes Anderson movie every 2 or 3 years, and I'm in. I mean, in all honesty, this was actually the first one that I had ever seen. I remember watching it back in, like, 2009, maybe 2010. I know definitely before the Oscars came up, I remember thinking this was the real best choice, even though it went to Up, and Up was the only one that was also nominated for Best Picture. I was like, nah, I think this one's a little better. I mean, you know, no disrespect to Up, but this one's a much better story, much better cast. But, you know, whatever. The Academy loves Pixar. But yeah, generally speaking, it's very good. It's a very good movie. You have George Clooney in the main role of the Fantastic Mr. Fox, who, like I said, he pretty much messes around with these farmers. And essentially what the whole movie comes down to is that it pretty much starts off where you see Fox with his wife just as they're about to become parents. It skips 2 years later. You got, eventually, their nephew comes in to live with them alongside their son. Fox is pretty much tired of this cozy, normal lifestyle, so he decides to go back to his old ways once he moves up to this nice area, which, again, just screws everyone over. And that's kind of like the consistent thing about the movie, is that he's constantly screwing people over, just trying to live out his, you know, his youth, so to speak. It's pretty much like a midlife crisis, because he's pretty much even acknowledging, like, look, I'm already this many years old. My father died, you know, pretty much 2 human years afterwards, which is one of the fun things about the movie, is that the movie often showcases, like, okay, this is how long it's been, but for animals, this is how it would be. So it'd be like, oh, this is 1 human hour later, but for them, it's like, you know, days. That kind of stuff is neat. And I do genuinely like how the movie presents itself, because it's like, okay, you know, to the humans, the animals are pretty much the way the, you know, like the animals normally act, but they do acknowledge that they, you know, dress up in clothing, that they have their own society and whatnot. So it's kind of like, it's kind of messed up that they're even treating them so badly, but it, you know, it, that adds to the charm of the whole story. It's just an all around pleasant time of just this loser, or at least guy who has seen better days, struggling to deal with, you know, a mundane life. So now he's trying to reclaim his former glory and inadvertently ends up screwing over everyone, or not, because of course as the movie goes along, he constantly finds ways to outsmart the farmers, and it always ends up going on their side, even if they're in a bad situation, which of course is funny. It's definitely something where you can just sit back and relax and watch and not even think too much about it. I could definitely see a lot of non-animation fans just watching this just for simple joy. But to me, my thing, what I really like about it, of the movie, is that, of course, it's never shying away from the fact that it's, you know, talking to adults. Like, yeah, they do try to censor, for example, like the language in the movie. Instead of saying, you know, fuck or shit or any of that stuff, they just say cuss in place of that. Like, they literally just say, oh, you know, are you cussing with me? Cuss you, you know, that kind of stuff. And you'd think it would get annoying, but it's always fine. Like, you never get bothered by it. At least I never did. I always thought it was kind of funny how they went about these things. And it's something where it's like, yeah, you can watch with your kids, but if you're an adult just looking to watch a nice movie about a guy, you know, maybe just going through similar things as you were, it's like, okay, adulthood's not fun. Again, it is a fun time for that. If you watch it with your kids, you'll probably get more out of it than they will, just because I feel a lot of the dialogue, you know, feels more to adults than the kids, even if they're not actually swearing. But I can still see some kids liking it. I mean, when I saw this, I was about, you know, 15, 16. So, you know, it's not like I was that old yet when I saw it. I was definitely older than, you know, a kid, but, you know, I was definitely into it. And, of course, the animation itself is fun to watch. It's a stop-motion feature, but you do get some, like, I don't want to say hand-drawn animation in there, but, some of the effects are pretty much done, like, where it's like, okay, that's like a drawing of a water drop or something like that. You get that kind of stuff in this. It's, of course, very much a Wes Anderson movie. Like, if you've never seen a Wes Anderson movie, you'll definitely know what one is like after watching this one. If you've seen a Wes Anderson movie, if you weren't aware that this was a Wes Anderson movie, you'd pretty much figure it out right away. And not just because his name comes up, but just because the way the movie looks, like just the way everything's framed, it's almost like, yeah, this guy was born to do animation. And it's a shame he doesn't do more. Like, he's done, of course, another animated movie, which I'll have to talk about someday, which is Isle of Dogs. And of course, there's been some animated segments and other stuff, like in the French the French Dispatch. There's a whole chase scene that's done in 2D. His most recent one, Asteroid City, had a whole scene with an alien, and the alien was done in stop motion. So it's not like he's abandoned animation. It's just that I'm like, I kind of wish he would do some more. Like, he clearly has the knack for this stuff, and it's just always impressive to see this much love and consideration going into an animated feature. Like, it's definitely a stop motion movie, but it doesn't feel like your typical, like, Wallace and Gromit or Rankin Bass, some Christmas specials, or even Laika. Like, it definitely has its own vision to it, I guess I could say, where everything looks neat. You can see the effort. You can see, you know, the budget is on there. But there's also kind of a cheap, I don't know if that's the right word, and that's probably insulting, but it also feels kind of like a cheap animator feature, like in terms of like some of the movement is kind of stiff at times, and it's pretty much intentional, so it's not like it's something where it's, you know, showing like, oh, well, they didn't have the budget to properly animate this one bit, but there's definitely times where it looks more stiff than it normally is. So in that regard, I would imagine it's probably, you know, an intentional thing, but I don't know. It's weird to describe without actually just showing you how it looks. Like, you got the forest creatures, who of course are all very fuzzy, and as a result, you can see that there's constant movement with a lot of their fur whenever they're being animated, where it's like it's kind of, I don't want to say going all over the place, but you can see that it's definitely being touched as these characters are moving. The human characters are more, I want to say detailed, but I don't know if that's also the right word in that scenario. But, you know, you can see how extremely ugly they are as people. They're very unpleasant to look at, but intentionally. It's not like in a way where it's like, oh, this is an ugly character and I just don't want to see them. It's like, okay, this is a character that the filmmakers essentially already knew, like, okay, this is going to be a character that's not meant to look pleasant because they're not pleasant. So as a result, they're not pleasant to look at. I don't know. Your mileage may vary on that. I know a few people who have found the animation in this to be ugly, especially once you get to like Isle of Dogs. Again, I'll talk about that one in another day. But I just find it charming and pleasant to look at. It's definitely different from, like, you know, your Aardmans, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy a different style. I enjoy seeing the effort being put in from people who clearly have a care for this. And they do. You can see that this was not something where it's like, oh, a filmmaker just decided to make some easy money because they were taking an adaptation from a fairly well-known author and just making it into a movie to make money. No, it's not that. You can see they animated it with passion, and the story being told was done really well. Again, I'm not sure how accurate it is to the book. As far as I know, it doesn't seem like it does anything that's too wrong with it. Like the ending with the farmers, essentially just deciding to forever wait for Fox and the other animals to reappear. It's pretty much from the book, even if it's done differently, because I believe in that version it was like they were waiting by the tree, whereas this one they're waiting by the sewer where they were most recently trapped in. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know whether or not it's too different. And regardless of it, it's a really good movie anyways. I mean, as far as I know, I've never heard anyone say that it's bad as an adaptation or anything like that. And it really isn't, by the sound of it. But, you know, there are people like that. I don't know what to say. You know, it's just a really fun movie. The animation's nice. The writing's incredible. I like the characters. You know, you got, like I said, the fantastic Mr. Fox himself, who's always getting into problems, but he kind of eventually figures out how to do stuff. The wife, who's kind of aware of all of his BS, but is still willing to stand by him. His weird son, who is desperate to be an athlete and live to like the standards of the father, even though everyone tells him like, well, you're not. The nephew, who's like the shy boy, who is pretty much like the perfect child. Like, you know, he's like, you know, polite, he knows karate, he, you know, is very agile, everything. And then you got just all the assortment of different animals that are there with them. You got probably the funniest one is Kylie, who is this opossum that I don't know if he essentially is their stay-in butler. I kind of forget if they mentioned, because I know he basically started off working on in the house that the Fantastic Mr. Fox originally buys, and he just goes along with anything that Fox does. But you know, that's a funny character. Bill Murray appears as this badger who pretty much sells him the house. He gets a lot of great moments. And then, of course, you got the villains, who are a ton of fun. They have a song, like, pretty much they have a whole song that kids have sang about the villains, Bogus Bunsen Bean, which is both really catchy and kind of creepy. And they really do use it in great effect towards the climax, where they're, like, you know, doing the whole face-off with them. It's really great stuff. And again, the animation is just really nice. Like, they do play around with it a lot. Like, there's a lot of fun angles that they use. One in particular that I really like was at one point towards the end of the movie, when they're doing, like, a rescue mission, Fox essentially has to distract this beagle with rabies. And they do a lot of POV shots from him holding the squeaky toy to the dog chasing him, and that whole thing just looks a lot of fun. And you could pretty much see just, again, like, how much effort was put into creating this movie. It never looks flat, even if sometimes the movement is a little stiff, which gives it a kind of a cheap look to it. Again, that may be the wrong word to use. I think it never really looks like it's it was made on, you know, on the cheap. Like, it never really looks like they didn't think of putting any kind of effort into what they were doing, which, again, I just always appreciate. This is an incredible movie, and honestly, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's pretty widely available. I don't know if they still have it on Disney Plus, because I know it was on there for a while since Disney bought off the rights from Fox. Or bought Fox, and you know, they now own whatever, you get what I'm saying. But even then, it's a pretty easy movie to find. I mean, Criterion has it. It's available to purchase on streaming. I would recommend going physical, but you know, whatever you have to do to watch it, it's definitely well worth it. Like I said, way back when this whole thing started, I actually prefer it over Up, that year's winner for Best Animated Film. No disrespect to Up, I get it, but if it were me, I would have put that as the winner, and I would have even nominated it for Best Picture. On the whole, wonderful time. It is definitely a joke now to say, like, oh, Wes Anderson movies are pretty much all the same and whatnot. Again, if you're an action fan, I think that's overblown, and you know, there is a lot of charm in each of his individual films, but this is definitely one of the higher ones. That may be just because it was the first one I saw, and I that's the one that I got introduced to, but for the most part, really fun movie. I can't really find any reason to not recommend it. So yeah, go watch it if you haven't. If you have, watch it again. It's definitely one of those movies that is always fun revisiting, and yeah, as a movie to return from my hiatus, it's definitely a fun one, and I hope I get to have another long run sharing movies like this, or, you know, just animation in general with you guys. Thank you for listening. This has been Octaviano Macias, host of I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse. See you later.
What's this thing you do, the whistle with the clicking sound?
That's my trademark.
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcasts on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. In any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.